This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading from the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. This is chapter 9. There are 38 verses, translation and commentary. And then also we have part 10 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also have quite a few phone responses and emails and letters. And they're very exciting. I think you'll find them extremely exciting. I get excited by all the mail that I get. I used to run before I was saved with Elvis, and even after I got saved, I witnessed and testified to him, Elvis Presley, and I've done stuff with the Beatles and for the Beatles, and I've also done things for Bobby Jameson and Sonny and Cher and a lot of other people. And I've never seen such a good mail as I see here. I've seen some good fan mail to people, but it just was nothing in comparison to the mail that we get. But right now, and I'm sure you'll agree with me when you hear it, that it's just phenomenal things that are happening from the Word of God that the Lord gives me. He opens up my mind to the Scriptures. And also leads me by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray right now that God will anoint with the outward anointing on this program to where the church will be edified, lifted up, given more of God's life in Christ and by the Holy Spirit, and that the souls out in radio land might hear this word of God, the good news, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord has come into the world, which the Word of God has come into the world in the form of human flesh, kept a perfect record, never sinned once, was perfect, and died on the cross, shed his precious blood so that we could be saved, all of our sins could be forgiven, and then that his Spirit with the Father would enter into us and quicken us unto eternal life. Quickening means that it's the life-giving Spirit that comes in from the Father through Christ Jesus. And then we are buried with Him. We are dead with Him on the cross, buried with Him in water baptism, and resurrected into the new life of allowing Christ's life to permanent life, to live himself out in and through us. And then we are sent with him because he ascended into heaven. We are also with him because we are his body. We are many members of his body. And with him we rule and reign the entire universe. He called us not to just sit about idle. And he gives everyone the same reward, whether I've worked for almost 41 years in the gospel now, and if you got saved tonight and you went out to meet the Lord, your soul would be just as saved as mine. And I just said there's a parable about that in the Bible where a bunch of workers went out to work, and they worked all day long, and then at 3 o'clock, or at noon, he saw a bunch of other people standing around idle. He hired them, and at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock, he hired some other ones. And at the end of the day, he started paying them off, and they all getting the same wages. And the ones that worked all day long were complaining because they didn't get more than the ones that had started later. And he said, well, do you consider that I'm an evil man? He says, the money that I have, I can spend it any way I want. And you all agreed to work for this certain amount of money that I agreed to pay you, and that's what you're getting. And then it's my will that the other people get the same reward. And what that means is if those of us that have been working for 40 years, if we're uptight because somebody gets saved tonight, and they die and go on to meet the Lord and get to go into heaven right away, we should be uptight about that. We should be thankful and praise the Lord that we see a person that has been saved go into heaven. You know, that should make any true person happy. But the Lord says that there are a bunch of people that are saved for a long time, and they were first, but they're going to be last because of their attitude about that. And those that are last, the ones that are getting saved now, shall be first, because they think that God's word is true and that they get eternal life for accepting the Lord whenever they do. And as long as they're walking in the Spirit and keeping the commandments of the Lord, no one is to look down their nose at new people that are being saved just because you might be older in the Lord. Because if you get better about them receiving the same reward that you have just because you've been working in the Lord longer, then you're considered by the Lord an evil person. And though you were first, you're going to be last. And those that are first, that are still full of the zeal and the desire to win souls, they're going to be first. So, you know, remember that. So, Lord, we ask that you pour out your Spirit, your anointing Spirit. That's the Spirit of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to minister your word. I know, Lord, that the more that we minister your word, the more that Satan fights this work. There are people that Satan has in this work that fight tooth and nail and do everything that they can. They're weak ones just start going completely berserk in the work. But Lord, I pray that you will say to those angry waves, peace, be still, rebuke them. Lord, get them back into the fold, if they ever were in the fold. Get them on the straight and narrow, and if they don't, Lord, some way just move them out of the church, because they are not of the same spirit as you. And we all must be of one spirit, one body, one Lord, one God, one doctrine, one Bible, and that's it. And anyone that veers from it, Father, well, of course, cannot be fitted for the kingdom of heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll convict people for doing this. They are people that want their own way, regardless of who it hurts, who they destroy, and even if it destroys themselves. Open up every heart, soul, mind, and spirit to receive your words. Lord, let not anything be said in this tape that isn't directly from your throne in heaven. Lord, we know that if we open our mouth and we're concerned about what's being said, and we're concerned about it being a work of the Lord, that you will be concerned about giving the right words to the general public and to the body of Christ. So therefore I ask you, Lord, to let everything that is done on this tape be directly 100% from you, so that the world can be saved and that the church can be lifted up, edified, and given more power and strength. And to those that don't want to serve you, that just are in the church to make trouble, Lord, in some way make them leave. If that's all they are, is troublemakers. And you certainly have told us in your word that you're not going to forgive Satan, that hell in the lake of fire has been prepared for satanic Satan and his angels and all those that are adulterers, fornicators, and effeminate, liars, thieves, and every sinful person that refuses to abide in your word, in your spirit. Your word is spirit and life. And Lord, we ask that you anoint the words this evening in Jesus, that it may save the souls and edify the church in Jesus. O Lord God, and also destroy the destroyer. Those that are falsely accused, Lord, if there's anyone that is being falsely accused, brighten everyone's mind to know what it is and get the false accusers, the liars, out of the church, because they do more to destroy human souls that you send in here than anything else. There are many places on earth that call themselves churches that they can go to that are really not churches, but that's where they belong. Satan doesn't fight people that he already has, but he fights the strongest Christian work on the face of this earth. And we ask, Lord, that you put your hand down, say the word, and it shall be so. Protect us, give us more power, more strength, more wisdom, more understanding, and more patience and faith to wait on you for deliverance from all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now we've got a lot of, emails and phone responses and letters, too. Okay,
yes.
Where's the first one from?
An email from Glasgow, Scotland.
Scotland. Well, yes, we're in over 200 countries now, so let's hear what they have to say in old Scotland.
Dear beloved Pastor Tony Alamo, I am hereby requesting more literature and taped messages on behalf of Sister Anna Ramsey, who got saved yesterday while I was distributing Pastor Alamo's world newsletter entitled Earthquake. She's requesting a Messiah book, literature, and taped messages.
What part of Scotland are they from?
Glasgow.
Glasgow. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good-sized town. And Dublin and Glasgow. When I was in Europe, I wanted to go to Scotland, but I was torn between going to Scotland and the Holy Land, so I took the Holy Land. But I lived in England. I had a flat there for about a year. Then I lived in France, Nice, France, and then I moved into Jerusalem and Tiberias. I had an apartment in both places. I was all over the place, just like Spider-Man. I knew I wouldn't be able to stay there too long, so I just went everywhere as fast as it was possible. I even went on, when I was in Venice, I went on water taxis, water buses, and gondolas, and I went up and down the street. I took every mode of transportation there was there. They don't have any cars in Venice, so you travel by boat or there's gondolas there. Then what?
Then a phone response. A 27-year-old Russian girl from Uzbekistan who is presently living and working in Brooklyn received one of our Russian literature and really liked it. She is a Christian from a Muslim family background, and she wants to fellowship with the brothers and sisters in the New York area. She is requesting prayer for the Lord to make a move so her 2.5-year-old son can come from Uzbekistan and be with her in the U.S.
See, people from Muslim backgrounds can get saved. They can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord died for everybody. And he doesn't want them to be in false religions, because false religions can't save your soul. He wants them to come unto him, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you Sabbath, rest for your soul. Praise the Lord, he says. And when you do, he'll forgive you of all your sins with the blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary. And then he says, now deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing happens to you. And the worst thing would be, you know, you people that have been old-timers and think that you can just start living the life of demons in the church, the worst thing that can happen to you, if you just let yourself keep rolling and you don't get a grip on yourself, start disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, the worst thing that happened to me is that there'll be no more forgiveness. And that, because Christ died once. And he says, behold, I am he who was dead, but behold, I'm alive. And I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to die again for you people. I died once, and once was enough. That's it. So you better deem your Christian salvation as precious, as a pearl of great price, and protect it. You must fight with that double-edged sword. There's a spiritual war going on. Satan's after you, and he's after this church, and after all the strong soul winners, and you have to stand up and fight whether you want to or not. You've been called to fight. You've been called to rule. You have been called to win souls. You have been called to bear fruit, to the fruits of the labor, we're going to be judged by the things that we did, the work that we did in our body. Don't let anybody say that we don't have to work the works of Christ or allow Christ to do his work with the Father in and through us while we're here, because he said we're going to be judged by the works that we allow him to do in and through us. And so I asked at the beginning of this service for the Lord to give me the words, and these are words coming right straight from the throne of God right now, this very second. So if you think you've never heard from the Lord before, God always uses human flesh to get his work done, and he preaches his word, and you're hearing from the Lord right now. You say, are you the Lord? No, I'm a member of his body, and I'm a son of the Lord. The Bible plainly states that. He says he with his Father, by the Spirit, lives in and through us, and he's living in and through me, and he's talking through in and through me right now. And it's for your soul's sake. All right, and then what?
Then a Hispanic man called from Hawaiian Gardens, California today and was very excited that he had gotten the pastor's newsletter, Earthquake. He said that he had gotten saved 2 years ago in prison but fell back into drugs and gang violence after getting out of prison. He said that he had recently had a supernatural experience with the Lord, and that both his arms simultaneously went numb, and the fear of the Lord came upon him, and he thought he was going to die and go to hell.
Right, the Lord wants to use you as an arm of him. And if you don't let him have his way with you, he'll paralyze your arms, and to give you an idea of what it feels like to be having a heart attack, and he'll take your life and cast your soul right into hell. And if you think that God doesn't do that, then you must think that Jesus is a liar. Jesus said, don't fear him who can take your life, which is the devil. But he said, fear him who can take your life and cast your soul into hell and the lake of fire. Now, this is God. Satan can take your life, all right, and he'd love to take it if you're not saved, because you'll be right in hell. Once you get saved, he keeps looking for a way to cause you to backslide and then take your life while you're backsliding, because he doesn't want to kill you while you're saved. If he does that, that defeats his purpose. So the best insurance policy that you could ever have is to get yourself saved and protect your soul by putting on the full armor of God. That is the whole Word of God, to be armed with the Word of God and to be armored with it, with the Holy Spirit, and protect your soul. Once you backslide, you've got not only Satan on your neck, but God is on your neck. And I don't mind. See, being saved, you got the devil is after you for sure. But I'd rather have all the devils in hell after me than to have God on me, because I know that if every devil in hell is against me and I call on my Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, surround me with your Spirit, come against all these devils, that God will do it. But if God is on my neck, you can't run inside the house, okay? Now what good will it do for you to hide under the bed? The Lord be right there. He's everywhere. No, you can't run from the Lord. Jonah tried it, and he got swallowed up by a whale. Or if the Lord said it was a whale, and the Bible says a big fish, but it was a whale. There's not many fish they could swallow you, but other than a whale, and that's what it was. But you get swallowed up into this world, and you'll have mire and weeds and seaweed and everything around your neck, and there isn't any good thing that the world has to offer you, and you'll be in trouble with the Lord. And the Lord, if Jonah hadn't made some prayers come out of the belly of that whale, he would have drowned in the puke of that whale, and you'll drown in the puke of the world if you don't get right with the Lord. And once you get right, don't be thinking like this man did, that he could backslide and go back into gang violence and into drugs, because this man is very fortunate that the Spirit of the Lord came down and gave him this supernatural experience where he froze both of his arms and scared him. Okay, let's hear the rest of what he says here.
he cried out to the Lord to show him a place where he could learn to follow and serve the Lord and learn to lead other people in the gangs and drugs to the Lord. He said that he has been praying and looking for a church where he could do this, and today his uncle pulled into his driveway with a piece of paper on his windshield. He asked his uncle if he got a ticket and went to check and found the earthquake newsletter under the windshield wiper. He read it and got very excited and called up asking where we have a church that he can go to.
This earthquake newsletter was the newsletter that the Lord gave me to write, and it's been winning a lot of souls lately. I re-released it and added some things to it since that tsunami overseas in, what was it, Asia, I think, in India, huh? Malaysia? Indonesia, yes. Okay, then what?
He said that he believes the Lord answered his prayers and is showing him where he can learn to serve him. He said that he was prepared to travel wherever necessary to serve the Lord and was excited to find out that we have a church in Canyon Country, California, which is only 1 or 2 hours' drive from where he lives.
Yeah, in case you don't know where Canyon Country is, we're right here in Los Angeles. You just take the freeway out to Sierra Highway and get off on it, and we're about half hour from Hollywood if there's not much traffic. If there is a lot of traffic, it takes us around, if it's just traffic jam, it'd take around 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But you could get to Hollywood probably in 25 minutes to half hour. So we're really close. We've got 200 acres here in the Canyon Country or Saugus area. This place used to be called Saugus. And then Dan Hahn, who's my attorney, kept petitioning. He didn't like the name of Saugus, so he changed the name of the town to Canyon Country. And we're at 13136 Sierra Highway, Canyon Country, California. And we have services every evening at 8 o'clock. We've been doing that for over 40 years. We have them every evening at 8 o'clock and twice on Sundays, and we serve delicious meals after each service, free of charge. And we have H.B. Barnum, who does the arranging for Tony Bennett and for Gladys Knight and Aretha Franklin, Lou Rawls. He did the arrangements for Frank Sinatra and the Coasters. And H.B. and I have been together now, off and on, down through the years, around 45 years now. And he is our orchestra leader or band leader at the church, and it's just real excellent music. And I think it's spirit-filled too, because HB believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Praise the Lord. So come on up and worship the Lord with us. You're all invited, everybody. And what else?
He will be coming to the services and bringing his family with him.
All right. Praise the Lord. Then what?
A man from Minnesota that was visiting in Hollywood called today and said he received the earthquake newsletter at the hotel where he was staying. He said that he was a Catholic and he really liked the newsletter and would like some more to pass around. He is a professional boxer and runs a boxing gym in Anoka, close to Minneapolis, and he wants 10 to 15 of each recent newsletter sent to his gym so he can give them to all the boxers training there. He would also like a copy of the pastor's book, The Messiah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I joined the American Health Studios in Silhouette Figure Form in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and as an instructor. And later on, when I was 21 years old, and before I was 23 years old, I was the executive vice president of over 80 American Health Studios and Silhouette Figure Form. So that's 160 studios. And then the Canadian Healthways Limited in Canada. And we had a gym on Hennepin and one on Nicollet Avenues there. And we also had a gym in St. Paul on the second floor. And that's something to have a gym. You know, there's some brothers now in the gym, boxing gym. We were bodybuilding. We had the world's largest chain back then. And I still am affiliated with a lot of the people that run those gymnasiums now, Ray Wilson, Charlie Tartella, Herb Calhoun, and Bob Del Montique, all these people were in the health studio business with me back, going back around 1955. That's when I joined up with them. Okay, and then what else?
And a man from Pomona, California called. He found the earthquake newsletter on the windshield of his car. He read it and called to let you know that he loved it and that this newsletter cut his heart. He is an independent truck driver, owner, operator, and is going to go to services in Canyon Country. He is also requesting to receive more newsletters for distribution and an information pack and Messiah book and your Bible studies on cassette.
Praise the Lord. And these, remember, it's services every evening at 8 and twice on Sunday, 3 o'clock afternoon service and 8 and meals after each service and wonderful music. And the cassettes, all these tape messages are available free of charge to you and the literature. Praise the Lord. Then what else?
A woman from Evansville, Illinois called. She received a copy of your world newsletter on her car while staying at a hotel in St. Louis, Missouri. She asked to be put on the mailing list and for other newsletters, the Messiah book, and an information pack to be sent to her.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Then a woman from New Jersey called. She received the Messiah book in Chinese. She said that she saw it on a table at the Chinese church that she attends in New Jersey. She picked it up and started reading it and could not put it down. She said it's wonderful. She also requested any of your publications available in Chinese.
Okay, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. We have the literature and the Messiah books, everything, in most languages. So, Greek, Italian, French, German, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, so, Korean even. And so just keep going. And, of course, English and Spanish. So ask and you'll receive. We even have it in Arabic. And then what?
Then a man from American Century Books in West Virginia called and requested 200 Pearl Harbor tracts. He said he puts them in all his books that he is selling.
This is a piece of literature that President Bush requested from me. I got 17 emails from President Bush wanting to know what my ideas would be in regard to bringing about peace in the Middle East. And at that time, he was threatening to bomb Iraq, and I told him, don't do anything until you hear from me. And so he held it off. And so I got busy and wrote this piece of literature and sent it to him. And I guess he didn't agree with it, but what I wrote was what the Lord said would be happening in the Middle East, and that there will be no peace in the Middle East until huge armies all over the world rise up against Israel. There'd be the United Nations armies, primarily from the United States and all the different countries in the world, to try to destroy Israel. And at that time, God would start raining death down from the kingdom of heaven on all these people that would be so presumptuous as to raise themselves up against God's chosen people. And it'll take months for the people in Israel. They'll hire people from other countries to bury the bones of the people that get killed by God for rising up against them in that day. And so President Bush, I guess, didn't like that. But I pray for President Bush's soul, that it be saved, and everyone in the administration. That's what we are, as a soul-winning work, and we're a no-frills Christian work. We just say it like it is. We don't have a lot of fancy, schmancy type decorations and illusions in our church or anything. It's just a platform, a pulpit, and real good music and good food, and more than that, good spiritual food, the best in the West, the best in the whole world, really. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Then this is an email. It says, please let me know if any one of your members are in Montreal, Quebec. I miss sincere Christians like your church. I met them in Hollywood, California.
Well, why don't you write this person a letter and tell them you are a Christian and you could be a distributor there, and we'll be glad to furnish you with all the literature and tapes and Bibles. And you, right there, these pieces of literature and tapes are soul-winning tapes. And it won't be long before you have a large congregation of people there. We just read a letter from a person the other day that in a very short period of time they had 450 people in their congregation. Amen?
Amen.
We just read that on the tape last night, yesterday. Okay, so encourage her to be the one that gets a church together there. God could use her or him in a great and mighty way right there in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. All right, then what?
Then this is a letter from someone in Hong Kong. It says, Dear Reverend Pastor Alamo, let me greet you by wishing you a wonderful day as you read my letter. I give you thanks because I was so blessed to have a copy of your newsletter through my churchmate here in Hong Kong. As I read the contents and went through it, it is really significant, especially to those who have not received Jesus Christ in their lives as their Lord and Savior. Pastor, thank you. It really enriches my knowledge about the Lord God and this way of seeking the Lord, to know him more deeper through your newsletter, really helps me very much. Can I request a Holy Bible from your church and also newsletters to share with my brothers and sisters?
Yes, and also people that are unsaved, distribute them, and you'll increase the size of your church. I promise it. It happens everywhere. And then what?
The Bible that I'm using is in our own language, but I have difficulty because the lettering is small and I can't read well, especially during the nighttime. I am farsighted. Thank you very much, and I will appreciate it from my heart if you can grant my request. May your newsletters continue to reach more far places, especially remote areas, to reach out to souls for their salvation. Thank you very much. May your church prosper because you are giving from your heart. Respectfully yours, M.S. from Kennedytown, Hong Kong.
Yes, we have a request, and Brother Johnson, Steve Johnson, and Don Sweat, I would like very much for you to order these four foreign Bibles. These are Bible requests that we have for today. Seven Korean Bibles, two Greek, two German, two Italian, two Hebrew, five Chinese, 27, what do they call this?
Tagalog.
What was that?
Philippines.
From the Philippines. 12.
Chickawa.
Six.
Cebuano.
I've never even heard of these languages, but we've got to get the Bibles from them then here.
Two Russian and one Lingala.
Lingala. Okay, that's for today, and so I pray that you, Brother Steve Johnson and Sister Joni Johnson and Brother Don Sweat will locate these Bibles where we can, on a continuous basis, buy them. Now, we did have a distributor for them before, but I don't have anybody. One of the people that are not ordering them quick enough, so I'd like to have you, brothers and sister, take over that department now, all right, so that we can get these, expedite these Bibles to these people as quickly as possible, all right? Then what? What else do you have there?
Then there's a letter from Mandal, India. My dear brethren in Christ, how are you? I hope you are doing good in health. I am always praying for you and your ministry. Thanks for continuing the newsletters to us. Here, we received five letters from people who have converted their lives into Christianity through your newsletters. They are asking for Bibles to learn more of God's Word, so please send five holy Bibles in the English language because they are all highly educated.
Right, we're just getting a whole semi and a half a semi and a half of Bibles that we just had printed up, so there'll be plenty here. They should be coming in this week. So we praise and thank the Lord for the finances that he gave us and opened up doors for us to work and get these Bibles. I praise and thank the Lord for it so that we can furnish them to people. We're storing up for eternity. We're not laying aside money or slush funds or anything like that for us here on earth because we're moth and rust and thieves can break in and steal. We're taking that finances and putting it into the gospel field, which means that we're laying up our treasures for the kingdom of heaven where rust and moth cannot come in and thieves. Well, there'll be no thieves in the kingdom of heaven. Won't that be nice? You don't have to lock your doors or put burglar bars on your windows or security systems where sirens are going to be blowing all the time in case somebody sneaks on your property at night. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about anything up there in heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
I did not know about the Pope and Rome, but thanks to you, I do now. I knew all along that the bushes were crooked. We studied actual...
Oh, yeah, but we're trying... We've got to win their souls, though. I mean, they don't know it. They're in darkness. They're blind. They say they're Christians, but of course they're not. Otherwise, if they were, they wouldn't be bombing people and listening to bad advice. And let everybody pray that they'll get saved, because eternity is a long, long time. Okay, then what?
We studied Actual Innocence Does Not Matter, one of your newsletters, and now we have observed the real truth from your message. We already mentioned in my last letter that we sent to you that we are conducting the gospel conventions here at two places. In this letter, we are sending gospel tour photos and gospel convention photos. A human being can change his life by hearing the word of the good news of God. But besides that, if we can distribute your literature, which relates to your messages, it will be very useful.
Right. And you know what the good news is, right? That Christ came into the world, the word of God came into the world, and that he never sinned. He died, was buried, resurrected, and ascended, and sits ruling and reigning and conducting spiritual warfare through all of his servants. When a person comes to the Lord sends himself into them. He sends the Spirit, because he's become the Holy Spirit now, and sends his Spirit, which is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into us. And then he anoints us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit afterwards to give us the power to be able to stand one day at a time, and also to shoulder the cross and deny ourselves and do all the things that the Bible tells us to do, which is to grow to the fullness also of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to enjoy and partake in the church life, the body of Christ life, the New Jerusalem life, the kingdom of heaven life, the temple life. We are the temples of the Lord. In my Father's house, Jesus said, that is us, where he lives, are many mansions. So he lives in many of us here on earth. But we all are one body of people doing what God wants, because we die out to our own life and let him live out his life in and through us. So what is really the work of the Lord then? Because we're not doing something on our own. We're letting God, with through his Son, Christ Jesus, by the Spirit, do their work through us. And that's what it's all about. Okay, then what?
Apart from teaching of the gospel, your literature plays a very important role in the gospel work. Here, your literature will help many people to find the way to eternal salvation. Here, many people are asking for New Testaments to learn more of God's word.
Well, I don't like sending out New Testaments without the Old, because the Old Testament tells what it's all about, and the New Testament shows that everything that was said in the Old Testament is fulfilled. And so people must read the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament is not done away with. The Old and New Testament is the Bible. There's not two Bibles like the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the Old and New. You can't really know the New Testament unless you read the Old. You've got to read them all. And so I wouldn't know at all the Word of God if I just read the New Testament. And I witnessed to Jews through the Old Testament. That's why this book, the Messiah book, is so good, is because it condenses the Old Testament prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's over 333 of them, and you'll find them all in there. It actually condenses the Old Testament so that you can learn it really quick and then understand it better when you start reading it for yourself. And then Jesus came and fulfilled the Old Testament law and order is what everything is we are to live now after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right? Which means that we have to keep the moral law. And in the Spirit, it's so easy to do. It's not hard at all. It's very simple. All you got to do is just turn away from sin. Satan will tempt you, but the Lord also should be tempting you also to do what he says, because he offers us the greatest reward of all, that's permanent, eternal, everlasting life in heaven with him, and complete escape from hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
They want to learn how God healed the people, how God saved many people, how God bore the cross for our sins. So please send more of your gospel literature and some holy Bibles in the Telugu language. Please pray for my work. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yours in Christ, K.R. from Mandal, India.
Praise the Lord. Is that it?
One more.
Okay. Where's that from?
An email from Ghana, Africa. This is Pastor Adams. Your literature has been changing lives at the marketplaces, hospitals, roadside, working institutions, etc. Please send me 10 Bibles and 2 books about the Messiah and 5,000 tracts. Thank you very much.
All right. Praise the Lord. Those were excellent. Amen.
Amen.
And so right now let's get into chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. And there are 38 verses there, so instead of going into the King James, which we usually do, and then the translation, we'll just do the translation today.
Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Verse 1. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Verse 2. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, quote, "Take heart, son! Exclamation mark. Your sins are forgiven." Unquote. Verse 3. Quote, "Blasphemy!" Exclamation mark. "This man talks like he is God!" Exclamation mark. Unquote. Some of the teachers of religious law said among themselves. Verse 4. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, quote, "Why are you thinking such evil thoughts?" Verse 5. Is it easier to say, quote, "Your sins are forgiven," unquote, or, quote, "Get up and walk," unquote? Verse 6. I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the power, the authority on earth to forgive sins, unquote. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, quote, "Stand up. Take your mat and go on home, because you are healed," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 7, and the man jumped up and went home, exclamation mark. Verse 8, fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen right before their eyes. They praised God for sending a man with such great authority.
Right, paralysis, you know, where a person is totally paralyzed. But it just goes to show the great power of the Holy Spirit. When people believe the Word of God, that's all it takes is faith, and the Holy Spirit comes down that created man out of dirt. Now, if anything was ever paralyzed, it's dirt. You look out there into the field outside, or your front lawn, and just everything out there, if there's no grass, or say forget the lawn, if there's no grass there, that land is paralyzed. But God went out there and just took a heap of dirt and fashioned it, paralyzed dirt, and then said, and then breathed his breath into him. So, and the person got up and started thinking and breathing and also doing. And then also we should see that Jesus, God in the Old Testament, drowned the whole world, and it's his people to drown. If they're not obeying what he says, he can drown them, and he did. And he's going to burn a whole bunch of people now. But what is so hard for God, if he made a person out of the dirt out there in the field, for him to unparalyze somebody? The Spirit of God is holding up the entire world. This world is very heavy. You know, some people can't even hold up 1 ton of dirt. And 1 ton of dirt in a scoop on one of these cranes, I mean, that's way more than a ton. Some of these cranes will pick up 5 tons of dirt. You can't even pick that up. But the Lord holds up this entire earth, and he raises people out of the dead, because they're actually dead. But the Spirit of God is alive, and it's powerful, and he's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's the most powerful force in the whole universe. It's holding all the galaxies together. And so those of you that are paralyzed, if you believe God, he said, by my stripes you were healed, the stripes that I took at Calvary, you're healed. Now, just if you believe me, just get up. Come on, get up and receive the gospel, the good news, that not only are you saved, but you're healed. And if there's devils in you, just receive the Lord when he says, get out of that person. Leave them right now in the name of Jesus. And if you have a loved one that really would serve the Lord if they were alive, the Lord, if you pray, could easily raise them from the dead. You know, the Lord is going to raise everybody from the dead on the last day. So why should it seem a thing as powerful as God? Is that a thing that's impossible for God to raise the dead? When there are many testimonies in the Bible of that he did the same thing. But you have to believe the Lord. If you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to yonder mountain, in other words, to yonder trouble, to any trouble that's near or far, be thou removed, and God will cast it away into the sea. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll cast all your sins away also if you just believe in his blood, and if you have a desire to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and stop sin, and let the power of God enter you so that you have the power to stop sinning and live a Christian life, a life of God and Christ in you. And so do that. And then what else?
Jesus calls Matthew, verse 9. As Jesus was going down the road, he saw Matthew sitting at his tax collection booth. Quote, come be my disciple, unquote, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Verse 10. That night, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to be his dinner guests, along with his fellow tax collectors and many other notorious sinners. Verse 11. The Pharisees were indignant. Quote, why does your teacher eat with such scum, unquote, they asked his disciples. Verse 12, when he heard this, Jesus replied, quote, heavenly people don't need a doctor, sick people do, unquote.
Well, the Lord didn't say the tax collectors weren't scum. He just said they're the ones that need to be saved. So all you guys at the IRS, don't feel bad that you're scum. Just get saved, okay, so that you won't be scum anymore. Amen? I mean, I'm just saying what the Lord says, you know, or what the Pharisees say. So you don't have to be scum. I was scum at one time, but I wasn't a tax collector, but I was still scum. But the Lord came and got me. And if he got me, well, he could save you too. Amen? Yeah. Doesn't make any difference how bad you are. He'll take a bad person. That's what he came to save, was us baddies. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 13. Then he added, quote, now go and learn the meaning of the scripture. I, quote, I want you to be merciful. I don't want your sacrifices, for I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough, unquote. The discussion about fasting. Verse 14. One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, quote, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? Unquote. Verse 15. Jesus responded, quote, should the wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Someday he will be taken from them, and then they will fast. Verse 16. And who would patch an old garment with unshrunken cloth? For the patch shrinks and pulls away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger hole than before. Verse 17. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. The old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is but be stored in the new wineskins. That way both the wine and the wineskins are preserved. Unquote. Jesus healing in response to faith. Verse 18. As Jesus was saying this, the leader of a synagogue came and knelt down before him. Quote, my daughter has just died, unquote, he said. Quote, but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand upon her, unquote. Verse 19, as Jesus and the disciples were going to the official's home, verse 20, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years came up before him. She touched the fringe of his robe. Verse 21, for she thought, quote, "If I could just touch his robe, I will be healed," unquote. Verse 22, Jesus turned around and said to her, quote, "Daughter, be encouraged," exclamation mark, "your faith has made you well," unquote, and the woman was healed at that moment. Verse 23, when Jesus arrived at the official's home, he noticed the noisy crowds and heard the funeral music. Verse 24, he said, quote, "Go away, for the girl isn't dead, she's only asleep," unquote. But the crowd laughed at him. Verse 25, when the crowd was finally outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up, exclamation mark.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Verse 26, the report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. Jesus heals the blind and mute. Verse 27, after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, quote, "Son of David, have mercy on us," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 28, they went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, quote, "Do you believe I can make you see?" unquote. Quote, "Yes, Lord," unquote, they told him. Quote, "We do," unquote. Verse 29, then he touched their eyes and said, quote, "Because of your faith, it will happen," unquote. Verse 30, and suddenly they could see, exclamation mark.
Yeah, there's a person that called me last night and said that he had a migraine headache, and I know that the headache, the migraine headache, is going to go away, or no matter what's wrong with him. So I got on the phone, and I said, "Your headache is gone right now, because just in a second here, Father." And I mentioned to him about how that God told me that if aspirins or pills are stronger than him, that I should go to work for the aspirin or pill company. And I thought that was the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. And so I just said, "Lord, heal me." I started laughing, and the headache went away. And ever since then, there hasn't been anybody I've ever prayed for headaches or any kind of pain in their body whatsoever. It goes away immediately. The only way that it wouldn't go away is if you were unthankful or if you were a person that didn't believe God. But if you really want to get rid of pain, just call the number and ask for prayer. You don't need aspirin at all. You do not need it, or any painkiller. It'll go away immediately. And I've prayed for people, and God has healed almost every kind of disease that I know of, except I have never prayed for anybody that had leprosy that I remember, but appendicitis and all kinds of things, cancer, they're cured. HIV, cured. All right, then what?
Jesus sternly warned them, quote, "Don't tell anyone about this," unquote. Verse 31, but instead they spread his fame all over the region. Verse 32, when they left, some people brought to him a man who couldn't speak because he was possessed by a demon. Verse 33, so Jesus cast out the demon, and instantly the man could talk. The crowds marveled. Quote, "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel," exclamation mark, unquote, they exclaimed. Verse 34, but the Pharisees said, quote, "He can cast out demons because he is empowered by the prince of demons," unquote.
Yeah, that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit right there. Them people, there was no forgiveness in this world or in the world to come for them. And not only was that, no one had ever seen anything like that in Israel, but nobody had ever seen anything like that anywhere in the world. Okay, then what else?
The need for workers. Verse 35. Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news, the gospel, about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness.
He still does. Okay, then what else?
Verse 36. He felt great pity for the crowds that came, because their problems were so great, and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, quote, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few," unquote. Verse 38, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers for his fields, unquote.
All right, that's the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew, and now the commentary.
Chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Using two analogies, Jesus contrasted religious ritualism that cannot save anyone's soul and cannot give anybody any spiritual power that can transform a life or give them power to do all things that he wants us to do.
That's right. Religious organizations cannot heal, they cannot save, they can't do any of that. They're social organizations that you go to, but Jesus heals and he saves and he heals. Amen?
Amen.
He casts out devils. He makes you every whit whole. Then what?
The unshrunken cloth and new wine represent the power for our ability to grow to the fullness of the stature of the Lord that Jesus offers. The old garment, which is our old life, and wine sacks, refers to the ritualistic lifestyle of a religious person and outward appearances characteristic of many Jews and false Christians in not only Jesus' day, but today.
Right, you cannot be in a religious organization, a false religion, which all religions are, and be saved. If the Spirit of God enters into you, you're going to bust out of there, okay? And you're going to come out from among these false religions, and you're going to be a Christian and serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, doesn't that make sense?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, then what?
Jesus could just as easily be speaking directly to us who need to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ today. Small external adjustments will not bring relief from our terrible condition or addiction. Some people have done terrible sins in the past, and they won't confess them, and they become slaves of Satan because they're hiding Satan. Therefore, they're still addicted to the sin. Like if they committed some kind of a sexual act of incest with one of the members of their family. That's devils there, and they won't confess it because it's too embarrassing for them.
Or if committed a sexual deviance, some kind of deviance with anybody for that matter, and they don't confess it, or if they lie and they don't confess it, they cannot break away from Satan because they're in Satan's cult. They hide Satan. They're benevolent to him. They don't want to expose the devil. And if you don't expose him, there's no way to be released from him because he's hiding in you. And you've got to let him go. The only way you can let him go is to confess. All right? Okay, then what?
And so they still are possessed with that. People need to confess and receive the newness of the spiritual realm, the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Chapter 9, verses 18 through 33. More miracles prove that Jesus is the Messiah and his actual deity, the Spirit in him, and the source of everything and all power for us. All power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus for all kinds of hurting people. Jesus restored life to a dead girl and stopped a woman's chronic hemorrhage. Then he healed two blind men and a demon-possessed man who was unable to speak.
If Jesus was hiding any sin in him, do you think he'd have the power to do these things?
No.
He has to fess up, you know, if he did anything. But he never did anything wrong. That's why he had so much power of God in him. Because God could trust him because he was and still is the truth. And if you're the truth, why, God can operate in a person that is the truth, but God cannot, will not share your body, which he wants to be his temple, with Satan in you. He won't share your body with Satan. You have to get confess Satan completely and get him out of you. Then Christ will come in, and he's not, your body's not like a hotel where you're going to let the Lord room in one of the apartments or something. You've got to let him take over the whole thing. You can't be alive in there, and Satan can't be alive in there, or for that matter, anybody else but God. God wants to take over your entire vessel so that he can do mighty, big, and mighty, and powerful works in you. You know, the only thing that prevents people from fessing up is their pride. And the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. You'll fall into the lake of fire if you don't fess up. You've got to fess up. And anyone that just keeps lying and lying and lying, there's no hope for that person. They cry and stuff because they want to keep their pride and they want to keep Jesus too. And they know they can't have Jesus, so they're always under conviction. And they never, ever get loose from Satan. And as I said before, Satan, Pharaoh was a type of Satan. He was a figure or a type of Satan that does not want the people, God's people, to go. Go out into the wilderness and to worship the Lord and give sacrifice unto him. And that's why Moses kept saying, God told me, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. But the people had to be willing to go. Amen?
Amen.
And so they had to acknowledge the blood of Jesus on the doorpost and on the mantle. They had to slaughter a lamb that shows, because, you know, these cute little lambs used to live inside the house with the kids and they loved them. And for them to say, we've got, this is symbolic of the of God that's coming to earth in the future, we've got to cut that little pet's head off. Oh, God, the kids would cry inside the house and, please, no. Well, but and that's what the disciples did too. Oh, God, please don't take the Messiah away. But he had to go in order for us to be delivered. And if God has delivered us by such a great and mighty work, by sacrificing himself, who never committed a sin, then who are you? You're not God. Why don't you confess? I mean, you're nothing. You're not proving anything by hiding your sins. Because everybody knows what you are and what you've done anyway. Everybody knows that you have no power in God and that you're not a preacher or a teacher or you know any stable person at all. Give it up. Give Satan up. Let him be cast out. Let Christ in and Christ will cast him out. Christ with the Father by the Spirit will cast him out. Forget about your stupid, ignorant, stinky pride and let the Lord enter into you. And be saved and have power in God and be able to do a work for God. Okay, then what?
Jesus showed his power to help people who were living or even dying and even that were dead, and then those that are under the power of personal demons. No matter what the problem is, we've got to recognize our need. If you don't do that and confess it and turn to God in faith, these are the first steps to being totally cured, healed, and to begin growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ.
And now part 10 of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just did a short paragraph here because, you know, the Lord wants it to stick in your brain like the hair in a drain. All right? Go ahead.
Sharing the position with Christ. As Christ himself is unshakable in the heavens, so are those who are full of the stature of Christ and who share the same position as Christ does. He changes not because of place or time. No matter what kind of environment he encounters, he remains seated in heaven, unchanged. He shares the same position as Christ. This is the condition of one who is full of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, you're always on top of everything. You're sitting in heaven with Christ. You're filled with the Word of God, you know, and you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and you know just what to do, just what to say. You know what the Lord wants to say all the time, and you're right on top of it because you're right there with Christ, and he's your head is on his bosom, and he says, Lord, which is the one that wants to betray you? And he says, the one that dips his bread, his sop, in the wine, or in these... whatever there was on the table there. Okay. Well, anyway, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and tomorrow, God willing, we'll be doing Chapter 10 of Matthew and Part 11 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord.